James chapter 3, and we're going to look tonight, James 3, and verse number 1. Let me get over there. James 3 and verse number 1, the Bible says this, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Teach us, direct us, help us, and guide us, Father. We pray in the blessed Lord Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. It's a very interesting verse. My brethren, be not many masters. Interesting. It kind of reminds me of that verse in Ecclesiastes, be not righteous over much, lest thou destroy thyself. And it's got an application there with it. So here's a Bible verse that says, my brethren, be not many masters. Well, let's define what the word master means in the dictionary. A master is defined as a man who rules, governs, or directs either men or business. A man who rules, governs, or directs either men or business. My brethren, be not many masters. What's he saying? In essence, it seems that what the Lord is getting across to us through his servant James is this. Brethren, don't be many masters. Don't spread yourself too thin. Don't have too many irons in the fire. Don't be many masters. You know, brethren, in mastering something, it always takes time and effort. It always takes time. It takes effort. Brethren, the thing about that is, as a believer, we have to have a light toward eternity. Now, brethren, there are some men that we can glean from some things that they've done in their life, that what they've done in eternity will amount to nothing. Paul speaks of they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Paul lifts up the athlete and his dedication as something the believer should emulate, but not in an athletic pursuit, but toward eternal things. Okay? Be not many masters. Brethren, again, in order to be a master of something, it takes time and effort. Brethren, there are guys that have mastered things that are just amazing sometimes. The things that Pete Maravich could do with a basketball was astounding. But he realized that, listen, Pete Maravich was a miserable man inside. And so was his dad. They ended up both getting saved. And Maravich, when he taught his boys basketball, he didn't teach them like he learned it. He set some rules and some limits on things because he was consumed. Boy, what he did was amazing. Can you imagine standing before God, though, with that? Do you understand? I mean, think about it. What he did was almost like magician trick, sleight of hand with the basketball. It was amazing. But, brethren, eternity, what does it matter? Brethren, be not many masters. Don't spread yourself too thin. Don't have too many irons in the fire. Bruce Lee made this statement. He said, I'm not so much worried about the man who can do 1,000 kicks, but rather the man who's practiced one kick 1,000 times. Listen, you've heard the old phrase, jack of all trades, master of none. Brethren, the hardest and most important thing to master is yourself. Okay? You can devote a lifetime to mastering that one right there.
Yes, sir.
And something that I want you, I'm going to make a statement tonight. I'm not going to get into it tonight because the Bible's going to lead us into it in the next couple of weeks. But you're going to find, we're going to find through the Word of God that the key to mastering oneself is first to master that thing right there. The Bible is going to show us that the man that can master that thing, he'll master the rest of his body. I'll put it this way, he'll go a long ways to being able to master the rest of his body if he can master that thing right there. But be not many masters. Brethren, how many people do you know right now that are good at a lot of things but no good at controlling herself? How many people you know right now, they are good at a lot of things, but I'll be, they cannot master their self. And as you think about that, I want you to think of individuals that you know or have known like that. I want you to think about something. I just about bet you if the outstanding thing is them, they can't control their mouth most of the time. I want you to think about it. When you run into people that are pretty good at a lot of things, but they cannot control themselves. And you know one of the big things they can't control? That thing right there. There was a guy, I won't even try to pronounce his name. He was a Norwegian. They called him Matty Nunks. He was a gold medal winner in Olympic ski jumping back in the 80s. He was phenomenal. And he was also, you can't wonder if he was half mad. The man is almost crazy. Constantly in and out of trouble. Just horrible behavior. Multiple gold medal winner in the Olympics. Man could not master himself. And one of the things it really showed itself in, he couldn't control his mouth neither. Control his mouth. James says, my brethren, be not many masters. Brethren, listen. There are many things in life that it is fine to have an interest in, to behold, to be, again, interested in. But brethren, if you become obsessed or try to become a master in that thing, you need to stop and pause a minute and think, wait a minute, how is this going to be in the light of eternity? How is this going to look in the light of eternity? Am I going too far here? And brethren, look, when you've got yourself trying to serve God, raise a family, have a marriage, just do your job like you're supposed to. I imagine, brother, there's plenty enough just in what we're supposed to do in our daily lives to just trying to master what's right in front of us. Just trying to master what is right in front of us. Believe me. All right? I'll tell you something, brethren. Look here. Seriously. I've said time and again, I want this church to be whatever size God wants it. If God wants it to be 5 people or 5,000, whatever He wants. But I'll tell you this. My concern is not the size of this church. As a pastor, my concern is being faithful to what's here. Seriously. Seriously. That's task enough. Listen, be not many masters. And again, the big thing to master is yourself, and the key to that is mastering the tongue. Look at James chapter 1, verse 26. James 1, verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Go to James 3, verse 2. For in many things we offend all, if any man offend not in word. And we'll look at this more next week. The same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Wow. Again, brethren, be not many masters. The more things you try to master, the more things you will fail in. Because you're spreading too thin. Go to Ecclesiastes 1. Ecclesiastes 1. Ecclesiastes 1. Brethren, there have been many a man, once again, that have accomplished a lot of things in this life. Yet, at the end of the road, they looked and realized, but what have I done for what really matters? Some of you may have heard of a man named Hyman Rickover. And Admiral Rickover is the reason that we probably have the best nuclear program in the world this time. Hyman Rickover is the one who developed the Navy nuclear program and quite a character. Admiral Rickover was quite a character. He was interesting. That man was tunnel visioned on nuclear power, no doubt. And what he did was phenomenal. 2 weeks before he died, he was talking to one of his friends. What have I done? What have I done? What have I done in this life? And naturally, his friend is trying to say, Admiral Rickover, what have you have made this nuclear program? It is it is outstanding. Rickover was already seeing into eternity. Rickover was already seeing into eternity. And realizing, what is this though? I mean, that out there, you know. That's the key, brethren. Oh yeah, the nuclear power program. Brethren, one day this earth is going to vanish, be burned up. All that matters is knowing Christ and a life lived for Him. Doing whatever we do, not for the sake of it itself, but for the Lord's sake, and to bring honor and glory to Him. Brethren, I've read about a lot of men. I tell you something, brethren. You know, I'm a great fan of Theodore Roosevelt. I think he was a great president. I think he was quite a man. I admire Theodore Roosevelt. But Theodore Roosevelt was very belligerent. In some aspects, Theodore Roosevelt was a genius. In some aspects, he was very foolish. And Theodore Roosevelt made the comment about the war there in Panama. It was a nice little war. Brethren, there's no nice little war. Brethren, if war was a nice, that war is a needful thing at times. Because we live in a sin cursed, a fallen world, it's unavoidable. But war was not what God intended when he made Adam and Eve. And someday there'll be no more war. Because that's not the desirable thing. But you have to have it now. But there's no nice little war. There's not. I mean, that's what I'm saying is. So, and Theodore Roosevelt, and he resigned as Secretary of the Navy. Colonel in the volunteer regiment there, the Rough Riders, you know, made that charge up Kettle Hill. They called it, instead of San Juan, it was Kettle Hill. You know, they didn't put him in for the Medal of Honor. He probably didn't get it because of political ramifications. People are against him. But he was, you know, and his sons were, they were fine young men. But let me tell you something. When his son Quentin was killed in World War I as a pilot, I think it really started coming home to him, the price of war. And I'm sure he still understands that it's needful at times, but I think the glory was tarnished a little bit. Just a little bit. And brethren, a lot of men, look at Roosevelt. He accomplished a lot. What about eternity? Patrick Henry. Of course, others would take, as for me, give me liberty, give me death. Patrick Henry, later in his life, lamented the fact that he had not put more time and effort into the things of Christ, into the things of God. Thomas Paine, the pamphlet Common Sense that really rallied the soldiers there at Valley Forge during that time. Thomas Paine, that had a lot of patriotic writings. You know what he said later in life? I wish I'd never written it. You know, listen. He realized, I have put my effort into things in this life that don't matter concerning eternity. Brethren, listen. Again, the Bible lifts up athletes as examples as far as training and dedication and perseverance. But the Bible says they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Winter Olympics are coming up February. And there are folks that have trained who knows how long. And brethren, they're gonna live for that moment on that podium to get that medal and what now? More sponsors to try it again, it still won't satisfy. Food's still gotta be on the table, clothes still gotta be on the back, it's still gotta be. Now we can draw some good points from their dedication as far as us dedicating to the things of Christ. Okay, yeah, but brethren, but shooting for a way different goal. There's a lot of things in life, brethren, that people shoot for. And that people sit back and like, wow, wow. But, brethren, who won certain medals in the Olympics 4 years ago? Who was the NBA champions last year? When athletes and actors and actresses, they bask in that glory. But brethren, that's fleeting. What are you going to do when you're a has-been and you don't have it anymore? They can't handle it. They can't handle it. Oh, brethren. Oh, what a blessing to know the Lord and to have a true purpose in life and to be able to get up every morning and know I have a purpose to fulfill for my Lord until He calls me home. I just have to go through the motions today. The only one that truly lives is the born again believer. He has eternal life and is able to lay hold on eternal life if he will. Listen, listen, brethren. Ecclesiastes 1 verse 18. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Well, Brother Dawes, I thought the Bible says we should have wisdom, we should have knowledge. Yes, about the things of God. But if you increase your wisdom and knowledge in certain other things in this life, all it will do is just frustrate you. In fact, let me say this to you. If you increase knowledge without emphasizing obedience unto God, you're going to be awful miserable. Look at Ecclesiastes. Solomon knew about a lot of things, but he wasn't obedient. So that's why Ecclesiastes is filled with the statement, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What's the conclusion he comes to in Ecclesiastes 12? Let us hear the conclusion of all matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Solomon realized that even though he had all that knowledge, he wasn't obeying God, and it was just, frustrating. Brethren, so merely getting knowledge will not satisfy you. It is applying it. It is obeying God. Let me tell you something. There's many a person that has walked this globe that barely could write their own name, if even that. But they knew God, and they loved Him, and they loved His Word, and they tried to obey just what knowledge they did have. And they left this life peaceful and mighty happy. And yet there are people that have vast knowledge, but they will not obey God. They don't know God, and they are continually frustrated, and they will leave this life in misery. And they'll leave this life damned. Oh, brethren. It's fine to have knowledge and understanding as long as you couple it with an intention and a purpose to obey the wisdom God gives you and to walk in the light of the knowledge that you have. Because without that, knowledge just for the sake of knowledge is vanity. It should be used to draw closer to God and to obey Him and walk with Him. Take your Bible, go to Ecclesiastes 7. Ecclesiastes 7. Verse 16. Be not righteous over much. Why shouldest neither make thyself overwise? Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? Wow. How about that? You say, Brother Dawes, wait a minute. How could somebody be too righteous or too wise? Listen. When you set up a standard of righteousness that is of your own making rather than God's, you will put burdens upon yourself that will break you. Do you understand? When you try to put upon yourself a standard of rightness that God is not putting on you, you will break yourself and destroy yourself. That happened to a missionary that was in Germany. You've heard me tell about him. He's dead now. He committed suicide. What happened was, while he was in Germany, and everybody that knew him thought he was a great brother, good man. I've heard countless stories about him. But he had heard a message preached, and he made a vow to God that I'll give out so many tracts a day. Well, what he did was, that thing consumed him. And instead of realizing and just saying, Lord, I'm not able to do this, and Christ has fulfilled all the law for us, and if I can't do this, okay, I should try to give out tracts. But what he did was, he would lay in bed at night. I've not given out. And he would jump up out of bed and try to get that number of tracts in. His nerves couldn't take it. They just snapped. He had a nervous breakdown. Couldn't hardly get himself together to get back to the States. Got back to the States, and he went to a preacher up in the mountains and just stayed there. His name was Fred Potter. And Brother Potter just loved him, took him under his wing. That brother was so messed up, he told Brother Potter, Preacher Potter, he goes, I'm lost. I don't even know if I'm saved. I don't know what I'm. He goes, son, somebody's just messed your kingdom up. They've just messed up with, you got some bad teaching and stuff. Then he just loved him. He got a job and was working. It was in witnessing to other people on the job that he started to realize. He said it hit him one day. He goes, Lord, if I go to hell, I'm going to go to hell trusting the blood of Jesus Christ. And God brought him out of that thing. And he was even pastoring again. But what happened was, when the devil got that inroad in his mind, it was like something that was there he could always run back to. The enemy could run back to torment him with. And he just, I don't know what happened. it just got to him, and he ended up committing suicide. Brother, what I'm saying is, look what your Bible says. Be not righteous over much, neither make thyself over wise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Brethren, if you put something on you that God isn't putting on you, you're going to break your back. You're going to break your back. All right? If you get knowledge just simply so you can store it up, it'll mess you up. Let God guide you by His Word. He will not put more on you than what is right. He will not break your back with things. Okay? It'll be a load and a burden that He'll help you bear, but not one that will break you and snap you. It won't destroy you. All right? And knowledge is the same kind of way. Knowledge should be used to draw closer and help you walk with the Lord, not merely to store it up to say, look what all I know. Take your Bible, go to Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes 12. Brethren, the enemy knows how to deal with each personality type. If someone tends to carnality, well, he knows what to do with that one. But let's suppose someone doesn't want to be carnal, they want to be spiritual. He knows how to deal with that one too. He will get you in your very desire to be spiritual. He will get you to overload yourself with burdens that God isn't putting on you to where it'll snap you. It'll snap you. That's why the Bible speaks, be not righteous over much. Isn't that an amazing verse? How can you be too righteous when you're putting on yourself something God isn't putting on you? Look at the book of Acts. What did Peter say about putting things on the Gentiles? Are we going to put a burden on the Gentiles that we and our fathers couldn't bear? So we ain't putting that law on the Gentiles. We couldn't even bear that. Christ delivered it. You see? Brethren, don't put on yourself something God's not putting on you. Sometimes new believers do that. They want to be so right and so righteous, they'll put on themselves certain things, thinking they're being good, and you're doing it to yourself, and ultimately that thing will snap you. Or it'll cause you to be prideful. Look here. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 12. And further by these, son, my son, be admonished, of making many books there is no end. That is the truth. Ain't that the truth? And much study is a weariness of the flesh. Can I hear amen, Joey? I mean, it will. It will. It will. Look here. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. What's God's first commandment? Believe on His Son, Jesus Christ. And love one another as He gave His commandment. Brethren, listen. Come to Christ. Love one another. Obey His Word. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. That's the conclusion of the whole matter, Solomon says. Solomon tried to get all this vast, but unless it's drawing you closer to God or helping you live for Him, unless it's coupled with obedience, it won't satisfy you. It'll just frustrate you. All right? I'm telling you, brethren, obeying a little that you do know is far better than gaining a bunch of wisdom that you don't obey. Or putting upon yourself more than you can deal with. Or be not many masters. Be not many masters, the book of James says. Brethren, don't take upon you more than what God is putting upon you. You'll break your own back. The Lord ain't doing it. And a lot of times saints try to, well, people think I ain't doing nothing for God. Don't worry about them. Worry about God. Worry about God. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Walk with the Lord. He'll put on you. Now, He'll burden you in the right way. He says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. He'll burden because God's made us. We operate better under load. But let Him put the load. Let Him distribute the load. All right. Look here. Go back just a minute to James chapter 3. Verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Wow. We shall receive the greater condemnation. Go to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Okay. Brethren, since we must give account to the Lord, we must take care that we do not allow our time and energy be expended upon things that take away from what truly matters. Okay, go to 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4. First Corinthians 4, verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. For I know nothing against myself, or nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, have I in a figure transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up before one against another. Notice verse 5 there. He'll make manifest the counsels of the heart. Okay, with that in mind, go to Luke 12. Luke 12. Since we're going to have to give account to God, and the book of James says, be not many masters, knowing we shall receive the greater condemnation. Look at Luke 12, verse 47. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. So, brethren, look. As Bible believers in a land with such access to truth and liberty as we have, there's a great accountability. There's a great accountability upon us. We have liberty. We have access to truth. So, brethren, since you and I have a Bible in front of us, we're able to come to services and hear preaching and teaching. We're able to have the liberty, a whole Bible to spend time in. Brethren, because of that, listen, be not many masters. Brethren, don't spread yourself too thin. Stick with what matters because, listen, we shall receive greater condemnation. There's more we're accountable for. Now listen, who is the book of James written to? 12 tribes scattered abroad. So James is saying to those Jews, we shall receive greater condemnation. Why? Why is he saying it to them? Brethren, to them were committed the oracles of God. They knew more than us Gentiles. Okay, I'm transferring it. I'm making a spiritual application to us believers. It's the same principle. Do you see what I'm saying? It's the same principle. The Jews were accountable for more. They had all these years in the scriptures. They were committed the oracles of God. They knew these things. That's who he's writing to. So you understand that. We make an application to us as Bible believers, born again, living in a country that has access to the complete Word of God. It's the same principle to us. We shall receive greater condemnation. Remember, and again, brethren, remember, this was written to the 12 tribes. You know something? In studying about these things, it said that the Jews have watched us Gentiles through the years and have often looked with dismay upon our obsession with things that don't matter. Especially our obsession with the body and with sports. But there's nothing wrong with athletic endeavor. That's fine. As long as you keep it at merely athletic endeavor, enjoying, you know, nothing wrong with that. But brethren, it becomes a worship thing, an idolatrous worship thing. It does. And the Jews through the years have looked at us Gentiles and they were like, y'all guys are obsessed with your bodies and with sports. Where the Jews would blow it sometimes is they got so much into learning they left the Word of God behind. But they realized the emphasis was being put in the wrong place. James is holding them accountable, saying, look, we're going to receive greater condemnation. And he's writing to a Jewish audience. Well, we as born-again Bible believers will receive greater condemnation. We are accountable for more. Brethren, when you've got a whole Bible compared to some guy in the 1400s who only had maybe a portion of Scriptures, we've got more we're accountable for. We are accountable for more. And may I say about this thing as far as worship, I tell you what, brother. Did you know, I heard the other day, the cheapest ticket at the Super Bowl, $4,000. I can't wrap my mind around it. I can't. I can't wrap my mind around it. I can't. I just. You know what? This thing is just. This lust for entertainment, for things, for it's spiraling. It's getting tighter and quicker and tighter and quicker and tighter and quicker, and it's going to explode. And it's going to be ugly when it does. Look here, James 3, real quick, verse 2. For in many things we offend all. That's truth. So think about it. Brethren, it says, brethren, be not many masters. In other words, don't try to master everything. Don't spread yourself too thin. Number one, we should receive greater condemnation, and in many things we offend all. Brethren, is it not true that the more of something you get involved in, the more chance for error and mess up? It's just true. If you've got a one task, two tasks, as you increase, the potential for error increases. There's a lot of people thinking they can multitask. Well, I know, Brother Boss, I can. You're like a drunk that says, I can handle alcohol. I'm telling you. People go down the road, I can do all this. And drive. You're kidding yourself. Look, in many things we offend all. Be not many masters. Hey, look how the Bible is warning you and I tonight about many, much, many, much. Be not many masters. Don't spread yourself too thin. Don't try to master everything. Key on the things that matter. God, your marriage, your family, your home, the job you have to have, the things. Keep it within there. For in many things we offend all. The further you spread yourself, the more things involved in, the more chance for error and offense. Again, the more numerous of a thing, the greater the chance for offense and error. Go to Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10. Verse 19. Illustrates it perfectly. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Do you know what that verse says? The more of your words there are, the greater the chance for sin. In the multitude of words, in other words, in many words, there wanteth or lacketh not sin. Brethren, fewer words, they're easier to what? Control. Okay, look. If a man's juggling, the more things he tries to juggle, is there not going to come a point something's going to drop? Have you ever seen someone do something, an ability, and they have an ability, but as they get more, you know sooner or later they're going to blow it. And they do. Because it's just, it finally gets too much. Brethren, words, when they're kept few and carefully weighed, there's less chance for sin and offense. Brethren, how often do we beat ourselves up over, why did I say what I said? How often, brethren, do we leave situations going, you bonehead, why did you say it? Why? It's just like, there it was, it just had to... But if you keep it words fewer, there's less chance for offense. But don't you hate it when you offend somebody, especially if you didn't mean to? And often, after the offense is done, the more you try to make up for it, the worse it becomes. Because it magnifies it. Sometimes the best you can do is just like, I didn't mean that, I'm sorry, and move on. Because, no, I didn't really mean, I'm not saying you're stupid. What I meant was, really, I'm trying to say that you're really smart. No, you see, I'm not, and it's like, don't try. Or somebody goes and says, I didn't mean your hair's ugly. No, really, because I mean other people. I mean, I didn't mean like that. No, what I mean is, you know what I'm saying? It's like, God, just shoot me. It's just, you know. Because the more you try, the worse it gets. You ever had this, it's a mean thing to do. See, if you're nice, you'll go ahead and say, brother, stop. Sister, stop. Don't worry about it. If you're mean, you'll go, oh, really? And you let them talk. And they just get in a knot. You'll see a human being turn into a pretzel as they try to get yourself out of what they just did. And brethren, it happens. what's the way to avoid it? Control those words, and they're easier to control when there are fewer of them. And brethren, look here. Now, we're gonna find in the book of James that the man that can master that tongue can master his whole body. I'm going to tell you something. It's a hard one to do. I can remember as a kid thinking, what's wrong with you? Why did you say what you just said? Your dad's going to kill you. I can remember getting in trouble and going, why? I knew what was going on. But it's like this urge to just say, and you knew what you was going to get, but brethren, look here, but as believers, may God help us, brethren, to overcome that. And to watch that, for in many things we offend all. Many words, brethren, too much activity. Brethren, look here. Listen, brethren, you and I can be the good brothers and sisters we're supposed to be. But let God guide you. Because, brethren, if you spread yourself too thin and try to do everything, everybody, all at one time, sooner or later, you're going to conflict a schedule and somebody's going to be left hanging and you're going to end up offending somebody, which is the last thing you ever intended to do. Because you know what you tried to do? You tried to do too much. You tried to do too much. Now, are some people have the problem of not doing enough? Sure. Sure. You're going to have that. But then sometimes, brethren, you can go to the other extreme. What do? Let God guide you. Let him direct you. And when the thought enters your head, yeah, but people will think, brethren. So then we got to stop and say, well, wait a minute, am I doing it for people anyway? Well, no, I'm not. Okay, don't worry about it then. Don't worry about it. People shouldn't be doing that anyway. If they are judging you about something or judging your spirituality, well, shame on them. They got to answer to God for that. Follow the Lord. Let him guide you. Let him direct you. Listen, brethren, I talked to my sisters. You know, they're going through a rough time right now. They really are. Looking after my parents. And I sat with my sisters and my family, and I told my mom and dad, and I told her parents. I said, look, the only thing I can offer you, I'm pastoring down here. I know where I'm supposed to be. I can't be up there. I can't. I said, now, y'all can move in with us. You're welcome to. They're not going to do that. But the offer is extended and has been extended more than once. But my sisters, it falls upon them to take and I try to talk to them. I try to be encouraging. But sometimes they feel like, I told my sisters this last visit, I said, listen, you've got to know when to say no. I said, y'all have got families and grandchildren, things that you have to tend to also. I said, if you have to tell my mama, I can't do it now. I'll try to get, I said, you're going to have to do that. I said, her world is centered around just daddy. Y'all have children, grandchildren. I said, you're going to have to learn when to, in the right way, say no. And you can't worry about how it may be perceived or thought. Know that you're right before God and don't worry about it. Listen, I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's some relatives or neighbors who probably feel like that, you know what? I should have come up there and moved up there and I can't do it, brother. People can think what they want. I've got to follow. And that's what I knew my dad would want. I know that. Follow the Lord. I can offer my home. I know they're going to do that. Okay, you do what you got to do. So, brethren, when you do that, if you sit around worrying what people may think, you're going to go crazy. Because if you try then to please too many groups, again, in many things, you're going to mess up and you're going to end up offending somebody anyway. I'll just say this, brethren. In many things we offend all. You can't do everything. Prioritize. Do your duty always. Think always in the light of eternity. Someone did a thing called the Ike Matrix, the Eisenhower Matrix. Dwight Eisenhower had like a four-quadrant thing to where he put in things that are like pressing or things that are immediate, things not so. He just put these things in order that he kind of let determine how he did things in his life. That's pretty good. It's a pretty good thing. And brother, however you do it, everybody does things different ways and whatever. But here's the thing. Get a handle on everything. Have priorities. God and doing right's first. You always do right by God. You got your family. You got your duties that you must do. There are certain things that you, okay, master those. Master yourself. Master, okay, putting God first, your marriage, your children, those immediate things. If God gives you a green light for something else that lives on the periphery of that, that's not, okay, that's fine between you and God, but make sure it's the Lord. Make sure it's the Lord. Let Him guide. Do your duty always. Think in the light of eternity. What does James 3 tell us? My brethren, be not many masters. Be not many masters. What you'll do is, you'll do lots of things, but you'll miss out on what really matters eternity-wise. Knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Again, he's talking to the Jews. They knew better. They had the oracles of God. They were accountable for more. So are we as Bible believers. For in many things we offend all. The book of Ecclesiastes said, in much knowledge is much grief, you know, much wisdom, you know. A many multitude of words that wanteth not sin. Boy, brethren, when you increase things, you increase the potential for trouble. So keep things at a level that they're controllable and you can get a handle on. And let the Lord direct in what is put on you. He'll always keep it at a right level. What you'll have to fight is worrying about what others may think. Just be right by God. All the rest will take care of itself. Let's pray. Father, I pray, Lord, you would bless what we've looked at tonight. Lord, I apologize. These are important things. And if I boogered it up, Lord, I apologize. Lord, if I faltered, Lord, with these important principles, work around me, I pray. Lord, because these are things that we need to get and we need to look at and realize and apply in our lives. Help us so to do, Lord. And Father, teach us, dear God, and help us to master ourselves. Lord, learning as your word says, if we master that tongue, Lord, we master the whole body. I pray you help us with these things. Dismiss us with your blessings. We pray, Father, in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.